Welcome to the Swim Strong Dry Land Podcast. We are dedicated to inspiring and educating the swimming world. Our podcast highlights the work, character, and achievements in and around the Swim Strong community. I'm excited to welcome Coach Nico Fantakis from Brown University, and we are going to jump right into the rapid fire questions. So before we get to know you a little bit, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, let's get it. So first off, what would be your walkout song?
I'd go with Headlines by Drake.
Okay, Drake fan. How about, do you have a hidden talent that people don't know about?
I don't know if it's a talent, but I have a decent handstand at this point still. Don't break it out too often, but I can get up on one, yeah.
That's impressive. All right, yeah. Your swimmers got to ask you to do that on deck now when they see this. What would you be doing as a career if you weren't a coach?
I would have been running my family's pizza place.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of your stuffed animal when you were a kid?
It was Bingo.
Bingo. What type of animal was Bingo?
A stuffed border collie, a little dog. Yeah.
That's awesome. If you could be in a movie with any star, who would it be?
Probably Matthew McConaughey.
Okay. He's in every car commercial that exists, I think, too. Lastly, what is your favorite food or meal to eat on swim meet weekends?
My favorite, and we've started doing it as a team, is Mediterranean bowls. Like anywhere, every city we go to, we find a place with the best Mediterranean bowls, and you make your own.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good picks. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into some of the main topics. And first of all, thank you again for being on here. Really excited to get to talk with you. And want to hear first about, if you could share a little bit about your background, your journey into college coaching, and how you ended up at Brown in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Eric. And, you know, my journey with swimming started in Western Massachusetts. That's where I grew up learning how to swim and was just kind of always around the water. Both of my parents loved being at pools, at the beach. So it was always a big part of my, growing up as a kid. Getting into swimming, before I joined a team, I was very adamant about finishing swimming lessons and getting to be a flying fish, before I joined a team. So I went through a progression at the Y near my house to get to that point. And, just fell in love with it, getting to be around the water in, the cold winters in New England was something I really took to. So kind of stuck with it through high school and into college. And coaching had always been, something on my mind as an athlete. I was definitely the athlete who overthought a lot of things and consumed whatever media was online at the time. So for me, it was always something I had thought about, but it never really, seemed practical. Thinking about making a living and trying to support myself, my coach would always kind of encourage me to go into the econ business world that I was thinking about. So at one point I was kind of leaning towards I'll go into business for a few years, I'll make a lot of money, I'll build a pool, and then I'll go into coaching.
Okay.
And when push came to shove, I couldn't wait that long. I needed to stay around the pool and be on deck. So I actually transitioned my senior year of college from swimming to coaching. So my undergrad experience, my college that I went to had a pretty unique program where they would fund an internship for you if you went through a series of seminars and met with the career counselors. They would give you funding for a summer internship where you could basically find someone who would let you work for free, and you would have, money for your living expenses. So I sent a bunch of emails at that point asking, coaches if, hey, can I come down for a few months this summer and kind of get my feet wet with coaching? Mm-hmm. Didn't hear back from many folks, but my club coach, who I had swum with through high school, had reached out on my behalf to Dan Colella, who was the head coach at Duke at the time. Mm-hmm. And Dan was happy to have some free help for the summer. So I got down there right when school wrapped up, the end of May, beginning of June, and got to spend the summer in North Carolina, just kind of shadowing the group that they had there for the summer, going to sectionals and nationals that summer. So kind of got to see, you know, how things worked on that end for the first time in between my junior and senior year. When I went back to campus to start my senior year, had every intention of swimming at that point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the way college coaching works, sometimes, you know, people have to leave late in the season or late in the summer for a new position. And that was something we ran into. So we were a combined program with one coach, okay. And it was just the head coach. So at that point, trying to figure out, all right, how do I have the greatest, you know, benefit to the program, to the team? Yeah. You know, at that point, knowing what I wanted to do, it made sense, you know, after talking it through with my head coach, and he was in support of it, that he would let me be a student assistant that year and be our one assistant for that year.
Cool.
So that was the first season of getting into college coaching. So I, you know, went through a fun year of getting to coach my peers. It was definitely a unique challenge that I've never kind of crossed again. But I think it set me up really well to kind of navigate, you know, working with people who are close in age to you. So after I graduated, you know, was looking around for a job that would bring in some money. Did not get any luck that first year out of finding someone who wanted to work together. But Dan at Duke was very happy to have me back for the same salary that the summer was. Mm-hmm. So for that year, I was volunteering. But at that point, without having the full coaching limit, I was able to be an assistant, just a volunteer pay. So I got to work a lot on recruiting. I was there, you know, for everything in addition to finding ways to make money that year. So it was lifeguarding probably about 30 hours, teaching lessons about 10 hours, and then driving a lot of Lyft and Uber at night.
So
the Triangle, Raleigh, Durham was a great area for it. So I was able to kind of piece things together that first year through a whole lot of different avenues, along with working some swim camps. And then year two down at Duke, they were able to add a part-time position that year. So it equaled out to exactly what I made with all my side hustles. So got to stop driving, stop lifeguarding, but, you know, had a year of being part-time there. And then when the opportunity came up here at Brown, it had always been a place on my list that I was excited about, just kind of seeing what our head coach Kate was doing with the program at that point. And we hadn't met each other until I started interviewing, and you know, we really hit things off and connected on a lot of, you know, what we believe in and how we, you know, see swimming fitting into the greater picture. So this now is the start of year six here at Brown.
Okay. That's awesome. And that story is really cool. The amount of things that you did to get to the point where you are shows how much passion you have for what you're doing. Obviously, not many people would grind that hard and do that many side hustles and take volunteer positions. And I'm finding that theme to be pretty regular in the college coaching world. If you really want to coach in college, you have to make a lot of sacrifices. And it's people don't realize all those behind the scenes stories about how you were doing late night Uber and Lyft driving and lifeguarding and swim lessons. And the coaching was the least of your income for a while, if any at all. And so I think that's really cool. And talk a little bit about that transition to Brown and now coaching the women's swimming and diving team at Brown. What has that experience been like for you now going into year six?
Yeah, definitely. So when I was looking around, figuring out if I wanted to make a move, I was, you know, really happy where I was. It was just trying to figure out, all right, where's a great fit? And I think for me, you know, one of the things that came up was, you know, what kind of impact do I want to have on a program? And being, you know, at that point, one of two coaches on the swim side, I knew I would, you know, have a lot more of my imprint on things and, you know, a lot more influence on where a program was heading. And I knew, at that point, I needed to test myself a little bit. I was really comfortable being, kind of a utility coach and doing a lot of recruiting, but I wanted to get a sense of, all right, what kind of impact can I have on the greater part of a program when, you know, it's one of two voices. So one of the really exciting things for me was, you know, when I started having conversations with our head coach, Kate, was, framing things as a partnership. That was the framework she wanted to work from. One of the things I really appreciated was she never viewed it as, hey, you're my assistant. You're just the assistant, and getting to have, a big impact on a group. So Kate and I have, for the last 6 years really partnered up on things and had a lot of, conversations and discussions of how do we move things forward. And sometimes we agree, sometimes we have to have another conversation, but it's been really a joy to get to partner up with someone like that in building, a program up.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that's so important to be a part of for athletes, especially, and for coaches. A coaching staff where no one cares who's getting the credit, but you guys are just working as a team and it's about the athletes, right? Like, I think most staff, even this is the same thing with club teams, is the same thing at any level of sport. If you have coaches with egos that get in the way of, oh, this is my team, we're doing this my way, and like you're gonna fail, and it's not gonna be what's best for the kids. Ultimately, our job as coaches is to serve the athletes in their best interests, and we're not the best at everything, right? Like, somebody else is always better than us at something, and if we can work together, like I've heard it said, leadership is not being the best at everything, it's finding everyone who's the best at everything and bringing them together. Right. And so we can serve our athletes. So I love hearing your partnership with Kate, and tell me a little bit about what that looks like. If you're an athlete coming into Brown, what does that look like working with multiple coaches? How do you guys collaborate? Is it athlete centered? What is that type of, how does that look?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us when somebody comes into our program is really trying to meet them where they are. So a lot of that through the recruiting process, you get to learn a lot about someone, learn about their background. I think ultimately you're trying to match up the experiences you've had as a coach, as a human, with the experiences somebody has had in their own life and the experiences they're going through. So for me, it's really not experience good, bad, a lot, a little. It's like all of it has to be valued. And then we meet someone where they're at, from that point and try and figure out, all right, what things are going to work well, what's going to, maybe need to get thrown out. We don't, really have too many concrete drills. We have a few foundational pieces we use for each stroke. But past that, there's, certain components and aspects that people do really well, or maybe it's a gap they have, and trying to figure out how do we fit, the mold of what great swimming looks like to that individual. So we do split things up a little bit, just kind of on two ends of the spectrum. I work a little bit more on the longer end. Kate works a little bit more on the shorter end. Okay. But over the course of a given week, everyone's going to work with both of us. So it's probably about a 60, 70 to 30, 40% type split that we look at. But it's one of those things where if a coach uses one different word or one small cue, that can be the moment that things click for an athlete. So we don't shy away from, having influence on anyone in any group. But there are kind of those home bases of, you're a little more on the longer end, a little more on the shorter end. And then there's a whole lot of collaboration in the middle.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And you guys, something that I think is definitely unique, I'm sure you encounter this a lot, but Brown being an Ivy League school, I think sometimes that can be intimidating for people, because Ivy League highly renowned for academics, and so super competitive to get into. And you guys actually, in this most recent graduating class, a couple of athletes who have been through the Swim Strong program, Lizzie Washburn and Matt Williamson, who are phenomenal people, rave about Brown and the coaching staff and what you guys are doing. And so it's amazing to hear those things. But I think a lot of times people are a little fearful of talking to Ivy League coaches because of the kind of status that they have in people's minds. I'm wondering if you could give some insight into that, People who maybe think, oh, I'm not sure if I'm good enough for an Ivy League school or could keep up with my classwork while being a swimmer, because that's a huge commitment. What does that look like, balance between school, swimming, and social life at an Ivy League school like Brown?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, for us here, we do try and stay away from, you know, using the term balance too much. I think, you know, with the nature of our sport and our what it takes, you know, if you're up at 6 a.m. or in the water at 6 a.m., you know, your peers, your other, you know, students are probably sleeping, or maybe they woke up early to study, but you're in the water. So there is kind of this innate imbalance between, you know, doing things at a high level. You know, you can't have everything, but mm-hmm. you can have, you know, things that you do incredibly well. So putting school and swimming as those front two, those are going to kind of oscillate back and forth. There's times, right, when we're in midterms, and if I have like a race pace practice plan for someone, and they're coming in off of two big exams, we may need to modify with that. We may need to do something a little bit more low aerobic. We can still get some work in, but we may not be hitting or going for pace that day, just kind of based on what's been on someone's plate. So that's something, you know, when folks come on deck, I think our job as coaches is to really try and read where they're at and what they're bringing in, you know, from their day and from their life. We view things as kind of talking about the sum of all stresses. You know, when athletes come on deck, it's trying to evaluate, all right, what are they carrying today? Is there something, you know, going on with family or friends? And what is, you know, outside of school and swimming, the things they're, you know, kind of carrying inside that are either going to, you know, allow them to be great or might present some challenges in a given day. So as we move through the season, there's times where, you know, we can lean more into swimming and times where, you know, academics have to be, you know, at the very, very top priority. So like for us, when we, you know, get to Ivy championships, into NCAAs, it's, you know, you've put in all of this work for months and months and months, and you deserve to get to have a couple of days where, you know, you're locked in on that outside of some, you know, wild circumstances where you have to take an exam on the road. Most of the time things can either happen before we leave or once we get back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think here at Brown, at least the professors, one, are really passionate about what they do, which complements what we do. And then two, they really understand that, athletics here is a co-curricular. It's something that really adds to the experience and enhances, you know, what they can do post Brown. There's so much to be learned from going through 4 years of this process. And the fact that, you know, the professors here see the value in that, place the value in that, allows us to have, you know, moments in time where swimming can become the number one. But there's also times where, yeah, and it's the majority of the time, academics are the number one. Mm-hmm. But that's something that moves, you know, as we move through the year.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I love the way you're talking about that, not even necessarily referring to it as balance, but just the flow of life at Brown. Yeah. And you addressed some really important things, I think, that a lot of times people overlook: the mental health side of things. You were talking about what type of stress have they been going through outside of the pool? What's going on in their life? And I may have to adjust my set based off of that. I think sometimes coaches can get into a spot where it's like, hey, this is the plan I had and we're going to execute it because this is how we're going to get the most out of you. But I don't think that's true. I think knowing your athletes is super important. So I love the way that you put that. I'm wondering, where does that come from for you? Is that something that you've always done as a coach? Is it something you've learned over time? Because I feel like that can be a little more rare.
Yeah, I think I've been around, you know, as an athlete, as a young coach, a lot of mentors who were planners. And that's definitely something that has, you know, rubbed off on me. I love to plan. I love to program and try and figure out how we're going to be the best, or how is somebody going to be their best version of themselves. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think as long as you have a plan and it's a really well thought out plan, you have that flexibility when things are in motion. You know, if you're kind of, you know, flying by the seat of your pants, you know, you can't be as flexible. But when you have a set plan, you can look at things and say, hey, if we, you know, had to give up a little bit of yardage, a little bit of race pace this week, we can figure out a place and time to get that in. You know, sometimes we're under tighter time constraints, you know, when you're getting into, you know, resting phases, that can be a little more nuanced. But, you know, when we're looking at a full semester of work, and we're looking at the academic load, the life stress, you know, there's going to be points in time where if we had to make a little bit of a concession, we can, you know, lean in at a different point. And that's something, you know, with our athletes, we really try and communicate and let them know, like, hey, this is a moment where we're making a concession. Where can we find a place where we can lean in and kind of make up a little bit of ground? I think it all doesn't have to happen in one practice. It all doesn't have to happen in 1 week. You just have to have the plan, and then you can be flexible from there.
Hmm. Having that macro vision, and then you can make micro adjustments as you go, depending on where the athlete is and knowing them. That's awesome. Yeah, and definitely. I think super beneficial for everyone, and a lot less stressful for you and the athlete. Cause I'm sure it's frustrating too. If you're super rigid with this is what we're going to do, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. where the athlete's coming in at. It's going to be frustrating for you because they're not going to be performing the way you envision them performing, right? And it's going to be frustrating mm-hmm. for them because they're beat down in some way, shape, or form that doesn't allow them to perform that at a high level. And I think that's really, really important and really cool to hear. And yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about your guys's training philosophy? Maybe someone specifically in your group, someone comes in day one to Brown University, and you know, they come from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different stroke instruction, a lot of different skill sets that they've learned from their club swimming experience. What is it like? What can an athlete expect day one if they're working with you, Coach Nico, mm-hmm. from a swimming perspective?
Yeah, definitely. So I do love IM. 4IM was my favorite event. I think
I love it.
Whoever wins the 4IM, men, women, you are the king or the queen of swimming. That is the event that kind of sets it up, I think. So I love people who come in from a diverse background who have been, you know, prepped for everything, at least on kind of my side of things, with a little bit more endurance. Mm-hmm. In that side, we do tend to have kind of two tracks. There is a group that pretty much exclusively stays on freestyle. That is their stroke. We'll maybe put in a little backstroke, little single arm fly, things to like lengthen out. But primarily their training is going to happen all with freestyle, and they're looking at a range of events. That really is with freestyle. I think what we set up really well is people being able to go 3, 4, 5 different freestyle events and have that range to maybe be a miler, but also end up on a 8 free or a 4 free relay. I think that's something I've probably been, you know, most proud of with our group over the years, is just kind of that diversity to be able to go across a few different events. On the IM side, you know, we're going to have folks who overlap with those endurance freestylers a little bit. But with the IM group, we're going to have, you know, a few sets where we're going for, you know, IM repeats, but a lot more where we're breaking down the pieces and looking at, all right, if it's a 4IM, this 100 backstroke, how do I, you know, negative split it, but negative split it half a second to a second and a half. That was something this summer we were working on pretty heavily with one of our 4IMers chasing her trials cut, trying to set it up, not a 2, 2.5 second negative split, but, you know, trying to hone in on that detail of, all right, can I keep it in this tight window, but do what I'm already doing? Yeah. So trying to give athletes opportunities and workouts to replicate, you know, pieces of races. Sometimes that's going to look like race pace. Other times that's going to look like, you know, the details we want to hold on things. So we'll do some, you know, it's kind of like a IM free type mix of maybe a 4 or 600 where it's on and off a 50. 50 stroke, 50 free. And there's going to be assignments within that where, you know, we're holding the things we want to see in a race 4IM, but it's not necessarily at race speeds. So we can hone in on those details and kind of the patterns and counts that we want to hold, even when we're in, you know, an aerobic phase of training. So that's some of the things we kind of hone in on with that group a bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing all that. And kind of on the other side of that, the supplemental side with the dry land, I think a lot of times people are scared coming into college of like, oh, what do I need to know? What are you looking for from day one, or what can they expect day one coming into Brown from a dry land perspective, that progression? What do they need to know versus what is, you know, helpful for you guys that they're prepared for? What does that look like for a freshman setting foot onto campus?
Yeah, definitely. So for us, you know, it really does start with meeting someone where they are. So we've had people come in at a whole range of different backgrounds with, you know, dry land and strength training. But what we set up with all of our first years is they work in a group of just first years to start. So anyone new to the program is going to start working with our strength coach, Coach Rob, and have a slightly different program to just kind of lay that foundation, make sure everything is technically sound before we start really adding any weight to things. So that group, people will progress at slightly different speeds. Some folks, it's maybe a couple weeks or a month. Other folks, you know, it may take 2 months or so to kind of progress into joining the rest of the team.
Can I jump in there and ask you, I want to, just for every high schooler out there who's listening to this right now, you said when they come in, they use no weight and it's all technique focused, even if you've lifted a lot of weight before.
100%. So we'll go through the movement patterns first and foremost. Once we nail those, then we can add things to it. But if we don't have the foundation, we're not going to put any more strain on things. And that's similar to the water. Once, if we're not technically sound, or if we're not in a place aerobically, you know, we're not going to add strain to things if we're not there with the basics.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They come in thinking, I need to be this amazing power lifter, or whatever they think is happening in college, as if it's like this whole new world of things that they need to be a professional weightlifter. And it's refreshing to hear that and to know that from a college perspective, nothing changes. It's technique, technique, technique. Yeah. And then when you're ready to add load, then you do that. But there's no point in doing things that you aren't technically sound in, or there's no point in adding load to those things. So I think that's awesome. And that's something that we like to stress a lot with Swim Strong, is make sure that we are technically correct, executing perfectly. And then, yes, of course, we can add load to different things, but there's so many different ways to get strong. There's so many different ways to improve your performance in the water, to prevent injury, to do things the right way is so important. And when you don't skip steps and you do things the right way, you're going to be the best swim athlete you could possibly be. Brian, who does our programming, came from a college strength and conditioning background, and we're now working with some college programs as well and helping with the programming. And so I think a big passion of ours is making sure that the athletes who come to your program or any program are ready to go. So you don't have to work backwards and undo bad habits, but you can just continue to progress forward and coaching them rather than having to fix things that were done incorrectly before. So anyway, I love that. I appreciate you sharing that. And what do you feel like is something unique about Brown? Like, if someone is deciding between Brown and any other school, what's something you feel like is unique about Brown swimming?
Yeah, I'd say maybe the word that best describes Brown is unique. The way we go about things here is truly different than other universities. So the academic structure that we have in place doesn't match any of our peers. It really is unique to Brown. So what it's called is the open curriculum. And as a coach, this is something that has, since day one, really resonated with me. So with the open curriculum, there are no general education requirements that you need to fulfill here at Brown. So most other schools, my experience through college was, you know, you have 7 to 10 general areas that end up with your degree. You have to fill some sort of math, some sort of science, a foreign language, an English. And it's, you know, in some ways very similar to high school, where you have to cover all your bases and then you have, you know, the area you're focused on. So here at Brown, that class time the way I view it is given back to the student to decide, how is this going to benefit me? What do I need? So what you're going to have is what we call a concentration. It's still the same idea as a major. It's your area of focus. Sometimes you go for two and you have two concentrations, but that's going to be anywhere from, 10 to 15 of your classes. And that's going to be, what you focus on, what you're most excited about, what you're passionate about. And that's where you're going to spend, the majority of your time. And then from there, you kind of branch out and think about, all right, what else is going to benefit me? What other classes do I actively want in my life? So as a coach, being, incredibly passion driven, being in this environment where you are actively choosing the classes that are on your plate in a more powerful way than really anywhere else.
That's awesome.
That's something that carries through the whole campus. So you're surrounded by people who are, energized all day long by the things they're doing in the classroom. And then here they're choosing to come swim still. And they're choosing to come to practice. And that's something that, for me, really feeds on itself, where, if you're having a day where you might be running a little bit lower on energy or fuel, you're around this group of people, not just at the pool, but all over campus, who are really amped about the things they're doing. So for me, on a day where maybe I'm tired, maybe I didn't get a great night's sleep, I look around at our athletes and they can fill me up, because they are driven by this passion that they're getting to choose what's in their world right now. So it's really a way to distinguish yourself as a unique student. No one's path looks exactly the same here, and no one's body of work, through 4 years of undergrad at another school is going to match, what you could do here at Brown in 4 years. So that's really what sets apart the experience. It really is, with the open curriculum, what makes Brown such a unique and special place to get to, spend your 4 years of undergrad. I've wished that I had known about it and could have gotten in. Both of those I did not, but it would have been, something that I would have loved. I think about my own college experience and I did way better in the classes in my majors than I did in the astronomy class that I had to take.
Right.
Because I felt like I have to do this.
Yep.
As opposed to, hey, I get to do this. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And that framework is so important to opening up, maximizing potential, really. You got to be excited about what you're doing. And in the open curriculum gives us, this really unique and special framework to get to work from.
That is cool. I love how you mentioned that if you're doing things that you love outside of swimming, then your swimming is going to be better too, because you're energized by the things that you're doing. And I think that's true of everyone. Even when you get to your career path as a coach or a doctor or lawyer, whatever you end up doing, you have to love what you're doing, or the rest of your life is going to suffer because of that. You're going to be so much more draining to do something you don't care about.
Yeah.
And that's something that... So actually, fun fact, my wife went to Brown, and she was a gymnast there. So she was an athlete from Brown. And so a special place for Brown in my heart, obviously. And she told me about the open curriculum. I went to Purdue University, so I didn't have anything like that, but I love Purdue as well. And I thought that was so unique. I thought that was so interesting. And I actually felt like that makes a lot of sense. Like being able to have autonomy as a student, to be able to do something you're passionate about and have your courses move towards that, as opposed to things that you have these baseline curriculum that you have to do. And I just think that's really interesting and forward thinking. I don't think there's a lot of programs, colleges out there that have that type of setup. I'm not sure. I had never heard of it until my wife mentioned it. And I just thought that was super unique. And I've always been a believer in do something that you're passionate about. So why not give college students the opportunity to start that now, especially when they're in this phase of life trying to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their lives?
Yeah.
I think that's really unique and interesting. Is it, do you ever find anybody get kind of lost in that though, on the flip side of things? Like, some people who like maybe need more direction, or do you feel like it's a good, more of just like really good for them to explore that? What are the, what's the other side of that? The challenges or ways that they grow through it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, kind of at the first piece, it's like, you know, through high school, you need to find a way to do well in everything. But once you figure that out, and whether you love it or you can't stand it, and you find a way to be successful, there is a point where you need to think of, all right, how do I want to spend my time? How do I want to spend my life? And the only way you get there is by getting to make choices and getting to really be in the driver's seat of making decisions. So yeah, I think the flip side of it is, you know, first semester, second semester of freshman year, it can be a little overwhelming picking classes. Sure. So what's really important here is that there is a really well organized network of support to help guide you in that. So for us, with our program specifically, every program here at Brown has a what we call a bear liaison, who is a professor here at Brown who's partnered up with your program. Oh, cool. We're incredibly fortunate that ours is actually one of our alums who swam here in the 90s, and Karen is now back as one of our engineering professors. Cool. So she really gets the experience on all sides of it firsthand. So she's, you know, really that biggest piece in the support system of helping folks. Like, let's say maybe you want to go pre-med and you love the sciences, but, you know, four labs in a semester, that's just not going to work. You can love it all you want, but, you know, if you have four labs and you're in bio, chem, and a couple of other sciences, it's going to be a challenging load to manage. So helping folks, you know, spread things out. You have 4 years here. You have enough time to get everything you want. It all doesn't have to happen in a semester. So Karen's really one of our huge resources there. And then you have some other advisors in place. You're going to have, you know, one in your concentration once you declare that, which you don't have to make any decisions on until that second semester of sophomore year. So you get plenty of time to kind of explore and figure things out before you have to lock yourself in. And that being said, all of those classes you're taking do accumulate towards your degree. So as long as you're taking classes, all of them add up towards graduating. So you do get that time to experiment, and they all do count. It's just no decisions need to be made on that concentration until, you know, you're into sophomore year towards the end of it. Gotcha. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like an awesome setup. And going back to a little bit of you personally, as we kind of wrap up here, I want to know, what's your favorite thing about working at Brown? What are like your best, the best parts of your day to day, or something that when you're like, the reason why I love coaching at Brown is, what would that be?
Yeah. So with it being year six, I've got to work with everyone, you know, through pretty early on in their process or their whole career here. So that for me has been something just more special than I could have imagined as a coach. Getting to see people from, you know, the start of things to the end of things has been, you know, just incredible. You know, here we're, you know, like I said, surrounded by, you know, a lot of passionate people, a lot of passionate coaches and professors. So that for me has been something that's just kind of pushed me even more as a, you know, as a coach to be, all right, how am I, you know, communicating things? How am I, you know, going about the day to day? So being around, you know, such high level thinkers, you know, has really pushed me to be the best version of myself. And yeah, our team, they're pretty special. I guess that's probably.
I can see the passion coming out. I'm wondering, as far as like your team and how much they mean to you. I see some pictures behind you. Are those photos of your team, or can you explain those?
Yeah, definitely. So this one on this side here, I'm in our deck classroom now. So we just have some like pictures up of men's and women's swim, and then our polo teams as well. But this one is from Ivy's this last year. And we had three folks go up in the A final, the two free. And a couple of them there are first years, and then one's a sophomore, and they were just so amped after, you know, their race and getting all be together in that final and parading out. So it was a special moment of, you know, getting to celebrate each other and in a big year of all being together at the end. They had, you know, seen each other day to day, working hard, and to get to be in that final together was really special for them.
That's cool. That's a really cool thing. And talking, you're kind of diving into a little bit of the team culture and celebrating one another. And can you give all the athletes out there just a little insight into the team culture of day to day? If they're on the swim team with Brown, mm-hmm. this is the environment you can expect.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for us here, it really is a warm embrace as soon as you get to campus. Brown is super welcoming. The team is as well. You know, for me, when I first got here, actually one of our divers had made me a painting, and I was kind of taken back. I was like, oh, we've never talked. I'm not going to be coaching you, but you're really welcoming me into this community. Mm. And that's something that each year our captains, I think, do a better and better job of. And this year has been the best year of it. They viewed it as onboarding the first years, kind of looked at it as a little bit of a business task of we got to get them into the fold and get them looped in on what we're doing. So for us, it really is trying to, you know, help people feel like they're at home. I think you're going to have, you know, a home where your family is, but then this place can also be, you know, a really special home that you get to come back to. Whether it's a swim meet, an alumni weekend, you know, for us with our first years, it's how quickly can you make this home? Whether that takes a week for some who might be a little more extroverted, some who might be a little more introverted, you know, they're still feeling things out and, you know, they're settled, but I don't know if they'd say it's home yet, but our job as a team is to make it home as quickly as possible. And that's awesome. Something that the upperclassmen really, really take on their shoulders in a big way.
That's cool.
I'm really proud of how they, you know, welcome people into the community here.
That's awesome. Important to make people, because day one is usually the scariest as you come into a brand new place and your whole life is changing. And if you have upperclassmen looking out for the underclassmen, how do we onboard you and get you into the fold? As you said, become a part of this family, feel comfortable and welcome here. That's pretty amazing. And not a lot of people will go out of their way to do things like that. And that should be more regular. But to hear that that's just a thought process that you guys have from day one is pretty cool. And I'm sure reassuring to a lot of athletes out there who are looking for a college that has something like that. So I appreciate you taking the time to be on here. Coach Nico, is amazing to get some more insight into your story and to hear about Brown swimming and diving. And you guys keep up the amazing work over there. It's pretty incredible.
Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate it. You as well.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Swim Strong Dryland podcast. If you'd like to be a part of the Swim Strong Dryland family, you can reach out to us via email or social media. You can also follow Swim Strong Dryland on YouTube and TikTok for more educational content.